Well, turn to Luke 24, and thank you for being here this morning. Good crowd, and good to see all of you here in the house, and thank you for those who are joining us online today. Luke 24, I felt led to share a word of encouragement today. 2020 has produced an unending series of unprecedented events, hasn't it? And guess what? It ain't over yet. It's just the beginning of November. So once again, here we are, kind of anxious and facing uncertainty about our nation, about our future. America's more divided than ever. If you're just looking at Facebook over the last couple of days, and it struck me, I've got friends that are just in mourning, and I've got others that are rejoicing over the wins. And I thought, you know what? If your Facebook's not like that, you may be doing it wrong. You need to maybe have some different friends out there, whatever. Because we're supposed to be salt and light, right? And so maybe we need to broaden that out. And so it's been interesting. Just kind of, I'm not commenting on any of it. I'm just seeing all the different perspectives in all of it. And I was praying, like, Lord, where do we go in all this? I was actually just kind of praying and meditating on Monday, knowing that this might be an interesting Sunday, not knowing that. The uncertainty of all of it, and saying, Lord, what do I say in the midst of this? And I ran across some notes that I had made, and this thought just kind of jumped into my heart, stirred my spirit, and I knew on Monday, I thought, this is what I'm supposed to share on next Sunday. It's found in the resurrection account in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke 24, beginning in verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, talking about the tomb of Jesus. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Think of the tomb like a crypt, you know, that you would walk in. So there's a stone that covers it, and you walk in, and there'll be little niches, little corners there where eventually a body is laid, but then just the bones are gathered, put in ossuaries and little boxes, and are stored in there, so maybe a family has that and through the generations. And so that's the kind of tomb that they've stepped into. But they entered there, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it says, while they were wondering, so they're confused, they're uncertain, they're questioning what's happened here, you know, what's occurred here. Suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? And then they quote from Jesus, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And it was that last sentence that just grabbed my attention and grabbed my heart and spirit. Then they remembered his words. How important it is that we remember his words. In fact, if there's ever been a time we need to remember what Jesus has said, it's today. There's uncertainty about everything, not just election results. And America seems to have lost her moorings. We aren't anchored to anything. There's no common faith or no common morality to anchor us and to guide us. We're just kind of drifting somehow. Everyone does, in fact, the Bible talks about at the time of the judges, or before the time of the judges, every man was a law unto himself. Everybody just, they had their own morality, their own truth. That's kind of like America today. Everybody has their own truth. Everybody has their own sense of morality. And now more than ever, we need to remember the words of Jesus. The Word of God must be our anchor. It must be our foundation. We must remember his words. Then they remembered his words, and it changed everything for them, and we'll show you that in just a minute. But let me just share a couple reasons why we need to remember his word. First of all, understand his words, the Word of God, the Bible, is truth. It's truth, and truth is kind of hard to find in this culture and in this season, but God's word is truth. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says this to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. If you want to know the truth, read the Word of God. You won't find it. You'll find glimpses of truth on CNN or Fox News, maybe, or whatever. And I understand conservatives are mad at Fox News now. I can't keep up with what we're supposed to be mad at. But anyway, but I know this. The Word of God is the truth. It proclaims, it doesn't just proclaim the truth. It is the truth. He said, your word is truth. It is the word of God. Jesus said in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Not just that you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but that you hold, you live by my teaching. He said, and then you'll know the truth. His teaching is truth, and the truth will set you free. There's confusion and doubt and uncertainty and questioning on every side. And if you're wondering, like these women were that had come to the tomb, if you're wondering where is the truth or what is the truth or can you find it, remember his words, your word is truth. Hold to my teaching and you'll know the truth. Remember his word because it is truth, and knowing his truth will set you free and it'll keep you free. In addition, remember his word because the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And with all the uncertainty of our world and our culture, we don't know the next step to take. We don't know the direction to go. But remember his word because his word will shine like a lamp on your feet to illuminate the next step. God's word will light up the path so you can know the direction to travel. It'll show you what maybe it's one step ahead. You don't know where the edge is, but you're just taking one step at a time. Or maybe it'll illuminate the path. It'll keep you from falling into trouble. Every time I think of that verse, I always think of a time. Sarah was already born right when we were in that camp in New York, right? And we had Sarah or whatever, and we were walking from, it was upstate New York, we were doing a youth camp, and we were walking up to meet some other people at another cabin after one of the services, and somebody said, if you got a flashlight, you probably need a flashlight on this path. And so we're kind of shining it, I'm trying to keep Paula and Sarah, you know, illuminated on the path or whatever, and we get to about right here and about where I am to Jeff, I see a little mother skunk and her babies walking across the path. Like, okay, hold up right there. So the word of God will let you know, before you can smell it, the word of God will let you know where there's danger out there, all right? It'll warn you. It'll illuminate your path. We need to know the word of God. Remember his word because it will illuminate your path and know the direction to take. Then remember his word because the Bible says, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. King James Version says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And we're being shaken and troubled by circumstances. But remember all those circumstances today? They're temporary. They're temporal. Remember his word because his word is eternal. It's settled in the heavens. It's firm. It's established. It's written in stone. And you can rely upon his word. You can rely upon its faithfulness, its integrity. You can rely upon it even in the storms and the uncertainty of life. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Because the certainty of his word is based on the unchanging character of the one who promised. God is not a man that he should lie. We can trust him. He's eternally true and faithful and just and trustworthy. I know who he is, the creator, the maker, the sustainer. The Colossians says everything holds together in him. By him, not only was it created, but he's holding it all together. And if he's spoken a word, then we can rest in that. We can trust him today. I have it on the authority of the Son of the living God. It's his word that I'm remembering and that I'm preaching today. So the certainty of his words based on the unchanging character of the one who promised, and the power of his word is in the faithfulness of his personhood. So again, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. James, the little book of James, says that God doesn't change like shifting shadows. The time of day or the season doesn't change who he is or his faithfulness in our lives. He's the eternal God, eternally faithful in all of his ways, and it is in his word that we rest and abide. It is his word we remember. It's his word we stand upon. It's his word that we cling to. Regardless of what's happening in our world, our culture, the politics, or anything else, we trust in him and we can stand upon his word. Remember his word. They remembered his word. It changed everything. It changed how they were going to face the circumstances they were in. Hide this word in your heart. Let God's word take up residence in your mind, in your spirit, and then live by it. Live in obedience to his word. James says that we're to look into this word and then be not only hearers, but doers. We put it into practice. We live according to this word. The psalmist said, how can a young man or a young person keep their way pure? He said, by living according to your word. I hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God, right? I mentioned first service, all of us good little AG people, we learned that scripture from Psalm 119 when we went to Vacation Bible School, because remember, somebody got to carry the American flag, and somebody carried the Christian flag, and then somebody carried the Bible, and you stood down there and you pledged allegiance to the flag and to the Christian flag, and then you'd hold your hands out. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I'll make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'll hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. And then we'd sing, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. Remember? Yeah. Anybody remember that? Yeah, some of you do. Good. There's a bunch of old AG people here this morning then, so. You can comment there. Yeah, I went to VBS. So anyway, how do we keep our way pure? By hiding his word in our heart, by living according to his word. This is how we live. This is how we survive. This is how we succeed. This is how we overcome. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by that word of testimony. This is how we make it, by remembering and living according to God's word. Teenagers, live according to God's word. You got to know it. Pastor Jeff's been posting devotions every day. They're studying the book of Philippians. Read those devotions and then apply that word in your heart. Apply it on your campus, apply it in your home and your family. Put that word into practice. This is how we're going to live. This is how we're going to make it. This is what we do. We remember his word, not song lyrics. I mean, it's okay, but not song lyrics and not memes on social media and not social trends and popular culture. Remember God's word, because everything else is going to change, but his word is eternal, and you can live by it. You can take it to the bank. It is the truth. It'll keep your path straight. So look again at Luke 24. Notice where they were. They were in a graveyard among the tombs. A dead environment. It was near to the place of execution, and they couldn't find Jesus. They found the tomb, Luke says, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, what do you do when you find yourself in a dead environment? We used to say dead in the water. The motor quit running and the sails, there's no wind to blow, and you're just sitting out there. What do you do when you're dead? You're in a dead place and you can't find Jesus. What do you do when you don't feel alive anymore? I mean, everything just kind of feels dead and lifeless and broken and in despair. You're grieving. Maybe you've lost a family member, a spouse, a child, and you just feel crushed by the weight of the loss and their death. Or maybe you're going through a divorce, a breakup. The person you thought would be faithful to the end isn't, and you just feel dead on the inside and betrayed. What do you do when you've lost your way, when you don't know the next step to take? You're just kind of paralyzed, and you don't know where to turn or who to turn to. What do you do when there's turmoil, when relationships are strained, when family members are estranged from you, or you're battling depression, or you're feeling hopeless, or the truth is you feel so empty on the inside that you wish you could feel hopeless because you can't feel anything, and you can't see Jesus, and you can't find him? So what do you do? Well, what did the women do that were feeling that grief and confusion? They were frightened and wondering and confused by all of it, in pain. Remember the one they loved, the one they had followed, the one they had attended to, the one they believed to be the Son of God and the Messiah and the Savior. He's dead and buried, and they're despondent, and now they're confused because the body's gone. And what did they do? They remembered his words. They remembered his words, and when they remembered, everything changed. It changed their outlook. It changed their perspective. They remembered his words, and they found direction. So the Bible says they left the graveyard, and they went back to the disciples and said, remember what Jesus said? It's the truth. He's gone. His body's risen. He's come back. I mean, everything changed because they remembered his words. They remembered, and they found hope in a cemetery. Listen, you can still find hope in a cemetery. But think about this. If they had remembered his words, they wouldn't have been in a graveyard to begin with. If they'd remembered his words, they would have known that the tomb was empty and he was risen, and there was no reason to take those spices and to go there to prepare a body. If they'd remembered and understood his words, they wouldn't have bothered going to the tomb looking for the living among the dead, is what the angel said. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Listen, when you forget his words, and when you start living by your own words and going your own way instead of living in obedience to God's word, you'll end up confused and frustrated and deceived and going to the wrong places and looking for life and for love in all the wrong places. That's what's going to happen. You're wasting time and effort in futile endeavors. You're looking for life in a cemetery, and you won't find it. Luke said they couldn't find his body, and they're wondering what could have happened, where could his body be, who could have stolen it, for what purpose. You see, when you forget his word, you end up wondering. You'll end up confused. You'll believe every conspiracy theory that comes by. You'll start thinking, oh, this can't be the truth, and that can't be the truth, and I can't trust God, and you'll start listening to the devil. Did he really say? Does the word of God really say? And it calls into question all that, and you start looking in other places. Your path becomes darkened, your heart and your thoughts are darkened, and you can't find his way. Remember his word. His word, your word, Lord, forever. It's settled in heaven. This is truth. And not only does forgetting God's word lead to confusion in your mind, it leads to fear in your spirit. Verse 5 says, in fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. Listen, if we don't remember his word, and if we don't live according to that word, we're going to be bowed down by and paralyzed by fear. And the uncertainty of it all becomes overwhelming. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? That's what whatever the news is, and whatever the election and all that kind of stuff. Look, if you forget what God's word says, then you just want to give up, stick your head in the sand, or run out in traffic or something, because you've got a different perspective. You start painting things full of dark and gloom. But when you remember his word, it changes everything. When you remember his word, the circumstances may be the same, but your perspective begins to change. The women at the well had forgotten all he had said, and here they were confused and frightened, paralyzed, to the point where they put their face on the ground. They didn't know what to do. Listen, again, if you forget God's word, you'll eventually find yourself among the dead, dead in spirit, dead in outlook, dead in your prospect for the future, searching for the living among the dead. When you forget God's word, when you choose to live by your word and not according to his, it doesn't take long before you look around and realize something's either dead or it's dying. And I'm not finding what I was looking for. I'm not finding life anymore. I've lost something. I've lost that source of life. You look back and think, it's not how it was, you know. It wasn't how it was when I was in Kagi. It wasn't how it was when I was on fire and serving Jesus, and now I departed from his word, and I've gone off and I'm living some other way, and I'm looking for something else, and something's missing, and something's dying on the inside. I don't feel the same way. I'm not connected the way it used to be. What's happened? You're looking for life in a place where there's just death. Because you've stepped away from his word. Remember his word. You've lost something. Living in a hopeless place, rejecting God and his word, surrendering to sin rather than obeying God's word will lead you to a spiritual graveyard. It'll take you someplace you never expected to be. And some wise person said, sin takes you where you never wanted to go. It makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it costs you more than you ever wanted to pay. But you don't have to go down that road. Remember his word and stay connected to his word and live according to his word. And hear this, as you remember his word, bear in mind what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. Because there's a lot of voices out there. A lot of words out there. Social media tells you one thing, and news outlets tell you something else, and politicians say this, and friends and peers tell you this, and this is what you ought to do, and this is how you ought to live, and this is how you ought to fit in. And the culture spins a narrative about what life is and how to be happy and how to be fulfilled, and you ought to do this and smoke this or smell this or live like this. And all these voices are speaking to you, and Jesus says, you've heard it said, you've heard all that noise, you've heard everybody else, but I say to you, and here it is, it's God's word. This is what we hold to. This is what we build our life upon. Remember his words. His words cut through the cultural narrative and the politically correct foolishness. It cuts through all the trends and the fads and all that stuff, and it comes down to biblical truth and biblical bedrock. The King James says, thus saith the Lord, and that settles it. Amen? It's his truth. You've heard it said, but I say to you. Here's the truth of God's word. Discern his voice and remember his words and follow him. Folks, it's why we need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives now more than ever, because we need the discernment that the Holy Spirit brings. Because Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you and he'll dwell within you. And in John 14, he says, and he'll remind you of everything I've said to you. He'll make my word, he'll bring it to your remembrance. He'll make my word come alive in your heart so you can live it out, so you can embrace that word, so that word will illuminate your path, the lamp to your feet, and you can live and walk in obedience. His words are truth. Remember his word. You've heard it said, but hear what Jesus says, because his word, he has the final word, and we want to live according to his word. I can't emphasize it enough, the importance of remembering and knowing and living according to God's word. God's word has to be the guide for our life and our choices now more than ever. And I'm not just, it's like, well, that's what preachers are supposed to say. I'm only telling you what Jesus said. Because if you read on in Luke 24, we find Jesus opening the word of God to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, he's walking, these two guys are walking along, they're on the way on this little journey. On the day of the resurrection, they're 7 miles from Jerusalem, when all of a sudden Jesus comes along, begins to walk with them and talk with them, and the Bible says he opened the word of God to them, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus, it doesn't just say, well, let me tell you guys a few things. He explains the word of God because it's bedrock, because it's truth. For Jesus, this was where we go, right? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. He quoted scripture to the enemy when he was tempted. Bedrock was the word of God. And then at the end of Luke 24, he appears to the disciples in the upper room behind locked doors. And the Bible says that he began then to tell them and to explain to them everything must be fulfilled, everything about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And so he declares to them again what the word of God has to say. And Luke says, and then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, this is what is written. I'm just telling you, Jesus thought it was pretty important that we know the word of God and that we could prove everything according to the word of God. And if his book says it, then that's how we need to live. If his book says it, then that's not just instructional for us. It's essential for us. It's foundational for us. It's life for us. His word is truth, and we need to live by his words. We must remember his words. Hallelujah. The women were confused and frightened and not knowing what to do, but then they remembered his words. So what did they do? They moved from the garden, from the graveyard, that place of death, to a place of hope and trust, with confidence in the resurrection. They went back to tell others, this is what I know based on what Jesus said. I remember his word, so based on his word, this is how we're going to live. This is what we believe. This is what we know by faith. And they began to proclaim it. Don't you remember what he said? Don't you remember? We saw these men in shining garments like lightning, and they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Don't you remember? Mary then goes back and sees Jesus, thought he was the gardener, comes back telling his brethren, oh, listen, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord, and everything's changed. Everything he said was true. Every word that he spoke, it's all fulfilled. The law and the prophets and the Psalms has all been fulfilled in Jesus. The word of God is true. You can believe it and stand upon it. Hallelujah. Don't you remember what he said? Yeah, we do. They remembered his words, and his words then guided their actions and their choices and their lives. Folks, I'm saying it again. His word is reliable and settled. It's eternal in the heavens. Remember his word. They remembered. We need to remember his word today in all the chaos and all the concern, frightening and troubling and all that stuff. But remember what Jesus said in John 16, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Listen, this world's not my home, and so I don't have to be troubled. Don't let trouble get in your heart about anything going on here. God's still in control. He's still on the throne. He still rules and reigns. And so he says, take heart, be encouraged. Feeling alone or forsaken or abandoned, remember Jesus' words. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He didn't bail out on you. He hadn't bailed out on us. God himself promised, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Remember his word. He's going to be with us, and he's going to continue to show us the way. His promises are true for us today, just like they were yesterday, and they will be tomorrow. Frightened and overwhelmed, unsettled by what's happening in our country, sure, remember his words. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Listen, our peace isn't based on politics or elections. Our peace isn't based on the economy. Our peace isn't based on any of that. My peace comes from Jesus. the Prince of Peace. I receive it from him. It's not the way the world divvies it out. So that's why he can say, don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Trust in God. Believe in God, he said in John 14. Then believe also in me. I've got this. And we can trust him today. We feel a little unsettled perhaps. We're like wringing our hands about all the unrest and where is the future? Where is it going to take us? I don't know what's going to happen, but when I remember his word, it changes my perspective and my outlook. So what do? Luke says, when these things begin to take place, or Jesus said this, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. He didn't say stick your head in the sand or stick your head in an oven, particularly if it's an electric oven. But anyway, you know, he didn't say go hide somewhere. He said, here's what you do. Here's what the church does. We lift up our heads and we rejoice. We look up because our redemption is drawing near. We remember his words. And when we remember his word, it moves us from our head down posture, head bowed in despair, to our head lifted up in expectation and anticipation of his redemption and his return and of his mercy and grace that's going to be with us every step of the way. The women at the tomb were confused and frightened and paralyzed by that fear and shocked. But when they remembered his words, they went from shock to shouting, from confused to comforted, from fear and fright to freedom. Listen, church, we need to remember what Jesus said. We're not defeated in this. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He didn't promise anything about giving political power to anybody, but he promised to build his church, and we'd take his people and build that church. That's what he promised, and it's time for the church to remember and to be salt and light in this hour, not to cower in fear or throw up our hands in despair about anything political or economic or pandemic-wise or anything else. Don't be afraid. Remember his words and lift up your head and look to him. Remember this morning. Remember his words. Remember, it was in a cemetery that Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You can trust him today. You can remember his words because he can turn death into life. He can turn defeat into victory. He can turn your despair into shouts of triumph and joy. He can do all things. His words are life to us if we'll believe them and obey them and live by them. Remember his word today. Remember his word. Hide it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Don't give in to fear. Don't let your heart be troubled. Instead, be encouraged as you remember his word and his promise to you today. Well, let's bow our hearts in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for that word that is forever settled in heaven. It is eternal. I thank you, Lord. Jesus, you said not one pin stroke, not one jot or tittle would pass away. You said, but that the word of God would be fulfilled. It's bedrock for us, and we trust in your word. We may not understand it all, Lord, but I trust in your word because I know your unchanging character. I know who you are, and I know your promises. The Bible says they're yes and amen in the Lord. The promises of God are yea and amen. We can bank on it, Lord. We trust in your word today. And Lord, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you'll do for us what you did in that upper room, that you'll open the eyes of our heart, that you'll open the eyes of our understanding, that we can see the scripture and that we will take it and not only believe it doctrinally, but we'll put it into practice in our lives, that it will inform and influence and illuminate every decision, every choice, and every aspect of our life. We will truly be people of the book, not just hearers, but doers, not just people that speak the word, but we will live out the word in obedience, Lord, that we will follow you as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, as disciples, as followers of Jesus. God, help me to take your word and put it into practice in my life. That's where blessing comes from. That's where the favor of the Lord rests, not just in your grace, but in our obedience. Lord, that those that love you are going to be doers of your word, that we'll put it into practice in our lives. Lord Jesus, let that be for all of us today. Lord, I repent of ways that I've sinned against your word. I repent, Lord, for ways that I've neglected your word, that days have gone by when I didn't read or didn't study or didn't meditate on it or quote it or rest in it or obey it. Lord, forgive us and make us truly people of the book and people of your word. Lord, let it be for us that especially in this wicked generation and age and day, Lord, in the world, in a day of trouble and unrest, in a day of pandemic and death and all those things, Lord, let us remember your word, because when we do, it'll change not only our destiny, but it'll change the journey itself. It'll change our perspective and our attitude about it all. Lord, help us to remember your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand together this morning. Here's your homework for this week. We learned a verse this morning, right? The Lord will deliver you from every evil desire. Listen, I want you to just find a verse to memorize this week. Well, I can't remember anything. Sure you can. Sure you can. Just find a verse then and just work on it a little bit. Because we hide his word in our heart. It's the way we do it. And for us old folk, it'll help keep your brain working a little bit. Just write it on an index card or... For us old folk, the rest of you just put it in your phone and pull it up. But anyway, but whatever you're going to do, put it before you somewhere and say, I'm gonna work on learning this scripture. We learn a verse every week if you're attending Carbondale, if you're watching us. We learn a verse with the kids every week. Hallelujah. They're hiding that word in their heart. And so if we need to give you a sticker or some goldfish or something to help you with this, I guess we can. But hide God's word in your heart. Work on memorizing the scripture and then not just knowing it, but put it into practice in your life. Well, receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Let's be people of the word. Thanks for watching us and joining us. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday. God bless you and God be with you. Amen.